Good morning. Today's daf in Beitza is Chaf Gimel. We are in the Mishnah in Chaf Beitza Mun Beis, and the Mishnah is going to be taking us through more practices of Rabbi Gamliel. Go back to the Mishnah in Chaf Aleph Mun Beis. So the Mishnah went over Shoshu Dvarim, three things Rabbi Gamliel Machmer Kedivrei Beis Shammai, where Rabbi Gamliel turns out to be a Machmer, like Shitas Beis Shammai. And so the Mishnah went through a number of practices that the Rabbi Gamliel was Machmer on. So now, in contrast to that, so now we're up to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah is going to go over other practices of Rabbi Gamliel. Af hu omer, shosh hazvarim la'akel. So there are three areas in which he's going to be a mekel. So number one, mechab ne beis hamitos. So he swept the house, not the entire house, but beis hamitos. Beis hamitos Rashi describes as basically the dining room area. Menichin es hamugmar, and you're allowed to burn incense and biyam tov ve'osin gedim kulas b'leil pesachim. And the practice of having a roasted goat on Pesach. The Chachamim say that all three of these are going to be prohibited activities, and you cannot engage in these three kulas that Rabbi Gamliel helped himself to. So let's go over each one of these three and quickly describe what exactly are the concerns and considerations regarding all three of these activities. So number one, so mechavim is beis hamitos, so sweeping the floor. So what's wrong with sweeping the floor? Why is that any kind of violation of Shabbos or Yom Tov? So we've gone over this point before, but let's quickly reiterate. And that is that back in the good old days, so their floors were basically the earth. I'm sure there was some sort of treatment that they did to the flooring itself. Sounds a little bit strange that there'd be no flooring whatsoever in their houses. But the basic idea is that the floor basically was comprised of the ground. And so when you swept the floor, so that's basically leveling the ground. Leveling the ground, that's what's called ashvui gumos. And that is going to be a prohibition. So even though what you're doing is you're just simply sweeping. However, what Rabbi Gamliel thought was that if it's beis hamitos, if it's just the area of the dining room where that area gets swept all the time, so the probability is that that ground is going to be smooth all the time, and there's really no concern in that particular area of ashvui gumos. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel thought that you could be mekel under those circumstances. And the Chachamim, they must be countering and saying, no, that even in that area, even though the area gets swept all the time, it's still going to be a problem and a concern of Ashvui Gumos. That's number one. Number two in the Mishnah, Menichin es HaMugmar. Okay, Menichin es HaMugmar, we're going to be discussing in detail over the course of today's daf. It happens to be a big part of today's daf, and that is burning incense. Now, as we've learned already, so what one is allowed to do is one is allowed to violate Malachas on Yantav in order for Ochel Nefesh. That goes all the way back to Daf Yud Beis, the Mishnah Yud Beis, and we also know that not only can you violate malachas for ochel nefesh, but even if it's a benefit and enjoyment that does not involve ochel nefesh, but you're allowed to do that also on yontif as well. That's the principle of mitoch. Okay, so now if we're going to make the house smell better, so why not burn incense? In other words, take obviously you're not eating it, but it's ana. You're going to take incense, you're going to burn it on coals, and that should be fine, and there should be no problem with that whatsoever. So that's what Rabbi Gamliel thought. Rabbi Gamliel thought that's good. And the Chachamim who say that it's aser, why did they say that it's aser? So Rashi points out over here, because even though we, of course, we follow like Beis Hillel, of course we say mitoch shel shalotzarch, huchunam shel shalotzarch. That's of course true. On the other hand, the Gemara Ksuvas teaches us that the only time that we're going to say mitoch, if it's hana'a hashava l'chol nefesh, if it's the kind of benefit that everybody can derive from, everybody benefits from, so that's going to be mutar on yontif. But if it's not a hana'a hashava l'chol nefesh, if it's just for people who are, Rashi describes as mifunakim, people who are really sensitive and really delicate, or we'll talk a little bit later on this morning, or really wealthy. So under those circumstances, it's not shavu l'chol nefesh, and therefore there's no heter of mitoch. The only heter of mitoch is when it is shavu l'chol nefesh. Everybody can benefit from it. Okay, so that's issue number two. And finally, issue number three, gedim mekulas. So later we'll go over the exact terminology of what gedim mekulas is, but basically the practice of Rabbi Gamliel was that, look, we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Gamliel lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, and unfortunately, we no longer have a Karban Pesach, but what we'll do is that on Seder night, we'll roast a kid. We'll roast a kid. I hope everyone understands. Goat. Baby, you know, young goat. We'll roast a kid at the Seder, Zechel HaMikdash. It reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash. And how many different areas in Halacha that we do Zechel HaMikdash? So Rabbi Gamliel thought this will be another one. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so they had a roasted goat. So we'll also roast a goat at the Seder night. Now the Chachamim disagreed with him because the Chachamim are of the position if people see you roasting a goat outside the Beis HaMikdash, what is that? Is that the Karban Pesach? Is that Kashrut B'chutz? You're allowed to do that? I didn't know that. And so it leads to a lot of confusion regarding the ability to, right, people will think, oh, I can shech the Karban Pesach, even though there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, and even though we're outside Yerushalayim. Okay, that's what people will think. So the Chachamim said, it's too confusing, you're not allowed to do it. Okay, those are the three issues in which Rabbi Gamliel thought that you could be Mekel, and the Chachamim thought you cannot be Mekel. So the Gemara discusses mostly now issue number two. We are in the Gemara in Chav Beis Amud Beis, and we are immediately after the Mishnah. So more than halfway down the Amud. Amar Ravasi Machlokas Legamer. The entire debate in the Mishnah is Legamer. That's only to infuse an aroma into clothing. But if all you're doing is just burning incense in order to make the house smell a little bit better, so according to everybody, that would be mutter. That's now if you're listening carefully, so you realize that's not the pshat I said in the Mishnah. Meaning in the Mishnah, I said that the machlokus between them is to burn incense in order to make the house smell better. That's how I explained the pshat in the Mishnah. And meanwhile, at this point in time, the Gemara now is giving a totally alternate pshat in the Mishnah, and that is that the only debate in the Mishnah is only to infuse fragrance into clothing. And immediately the Gemara is going to say that's not the correct pshat. Meaning, the pshat that I offered in the Mishnah, when I say I offered, meaning that was Rashi's pshat in the Mishnah. So the pshat that I offered in the Mishnah is really the correct pshat, and what the Gemara just presented, it's not the correct pshat. How do I know it's not the correct pshat? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because we have a braisa. And the Gemara quotes the braisa. Ein mechabdin beis hamikdash b'yam tov v'shal beis ramin gamliel mechabdin. So first, the braisa brings down the issue of sweeping the dining room. So again, we already know this in the Mishnah, machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether you could sweep the dining room. Rabbi Gamliel says you can, the Chachamim says you cannot. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek says, I'm telling you what we did. So there were many times that we went to go visit Rabbi Gamliel on Yontif, could be Shabbos as well. And he wouldn't sweep the dining room on Yontif. But here's what he would do. It's a move. And that is, he would sweep it before Yontif. And then, of course, the lamb sadinim. And then he would put, I'm going to use contemporary language, plastic tablecloths over the ground. And then the next day on Yontif, when the guests would come, they would take off the plastic tablecloth. And now the floor looks like it was freshly swept, but it wasn't swept on Yontif. In other words, it was swept before Yontif and just preserved through through some sort of cloth. So Amru lo im kein af b'Shabbos mutal asos kein. And they say to him, no, you can't possibly be right. In other words, it wasn't a drop cloth. In other words, they swept it on Yontif. If they laid down a drop cloth, everyone would say that's fine. Meaning you swept it before Yontif and all you did was put a drop cloth down in order to protect it. There wouldn't be a debate about that issue. Okay, so you're wrong. You're wrong about the way that you presented it. Now it happens to be, it's funny, you're wrong. In other words, his account was, we went to him, we saw it. So it's like one of those funny debates where, you know, he's saying this is what we saw, and the counter argument is, nah, that's not what you saw. Okay, anyway. So here we are now on the issue number two in the braisa of burning incense, which again is what we saw back in our Mishnah. Now, Vishal based Rabbi Gamliel manichin, and Rabbi Gamliel allowed the burning of incense. And once again, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek says, look, I went to go visit Rabbi Gamliel numerous times. And v'layu manichin as a mugmar b'yom tov. Ela mivin ardaske o shal barzel u'ma'ashnin oso. Mayor of Yontov, a pokin mikveh, mayor of Yontov, lamacha, kishorach and nechnas, and poskinis mikveh, and in sabais, mitka mer me elav. And I'm going to describe to you the maneuver of Rabbi Gamliel. He wouldn't be burning incense in Yontov, of course not. What he would be doing is that he would be collecting the incense in some sort of kli. It's called a censer. Okay. Rashi uses that word over here. Anyway, whatever. It's a metal kli that, generally speaking, has holes in it, and the aroma comes out through the holes. But what they would do is that they would burn the incense before Yontif, collect the aroma in this apparatus, and then plug up the holes. And on Yontif, they would open up the holes, And that's how they would get the house to be so aromatic. But they would not be burning incense on Yom Tov. And Amru lo im kin af b'shavs motel asos kein. And again, the same counter argument. Come on. That's not what they did. Anyone would allow that on Yom Tov. People would allow that on Shabbos. That can't be what they're arguing about. What they're arguing about is whether or not you're allowed to burn incense or not burn incense. Okay, so again, same awkward debate. This is what we saw. No, that's not what you saw. Okay, but anyway, it comes out over here that clearly what they're arguing about over here is not infusing aroma into clothing. They're arguing about whether or not you're allowed to burn incense in order to make the house aromatic. Okay, so the way we originally presented the Mishnah, that's correct. There is a debate in terms of whether or not you're allowed to burn incense in order to make the house smell good. So Ela Yidmar Hachi Yidmar, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to redact Rav Asi. So Am Rav Asi Machlokas, Ariach, Avalagamar Devar Kolasar. All right, so the Machlokas in the Mishnah is in fact this issue of whether you're allowed to burn incense in order to make your house aromatic. And in terms of infusing aroma into your clothing, according to everybody, that would be prohibited. Okay, and again, let's reset. So now, what's the issue? I know I said this in the Mishnah, but I'm saying it again so that we could just digest it a little bit better. And that is, the issue is as follows. Again, to do malacha on yanta for ochel nefesh, you could do that. To do malacha mitoch shehut shelo tzarech, hut shenamu shelo tzarech, even if it's not ochel nefesh, but it's beneficial, so you're allowed to do that as well. We follow like Beis Hillel. However, if it's something which is not shavah lechol nefesh, if not everybody is going to be benefiting from it, and not everyone goes through this process of burning incense in the house in order to make it aromatic, it's done by only a select number of people, people who are super sensitive, who are really sensitive to smells, they're the only people who do it, so it's not shavah lechol nefesh, and therefore the chachamim who are arguing with Rav Gamliel, so they'll tell you that you cannot do this on Yom Tov. There is no had to do it when it's not shavah lechol nefesh. Okay, next. So are you allowed to smoke? So the Gemara is not asking, are you allowed to smoke on Yom Tov? Although that is a question and one that was discussed for the last couple hundred years, meaning when smoking became popular, and it's been popular now for a long time historically. The Gemara over here is not asking that question of whether you are not allowed to smoke. In the time of the Gemara, I'm sure there was some sort of smoking that was done, but whatever the case is, that's not the Gemara's question. One of the Gedolim of the 19th century who discussed this at length was a Pnei Yehoshua, right? He talked about smoking on Yom Tov. No, I know it's funny, but it's true. He was pro. He was pro smoking, and he was pro smoking on Yom Tov. Okay, and not for now. Anyway, but that's not where we're right now. We'll just do the Gemara. The Gemara is not asking that question, but rather the Gemara is talking about infusing flavor into your fruit. Okay? And so again, it's a similar process. What you would do is that you would burn incense, you would take the fruit, put it right over the burning incense, and you would infuse a flavor into your fruit. Okay? So good. So it was fruit with other flavors to it. So are you allowed to do that in Yantiv, yes or no? That's the Gemara's question. So Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav Asar, Ushmol Amar Mutar, so Machlokas Amarayim. Whether it's mutter or whether it's asar, Rav Huna amar asar, and the Gemara goes on to explain. Rav Huna says that's asar mim neshe mechabe. Because here's what you're doing. You're taking the incense, you're putting it on coals, and you know what's happening right now? So for the first moment that those incense, that cold incense goes on the coals, so the coals are getting extinguished. A little bit, but doesn't matter. In other words, a little bit of extinguishing is called extinguishing. And you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Now, again, I'm going to say the same thing, but, you know, the more I say it, the more we're all going to digest it. Well, aren't you doing so for the purposes of ochel nefesh, meaning this is beneficial? Meaning you want the fruit to have flavors in it. So why isn't that okay? Meaning why can't you violate malachas in order to do so? So again, I'm just repeating what Rashi says over here. It is something which is not shavah lechol nefesh. It's not something that everybody would benefit from. So once it's not shavah lechol nefesh, you can't violate malachas to it. Good. That's the sheet of Rav Huna. So Amalei Rav Nachman v'nei Mamar min Meshem Avir. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. You know you are extinguishing the coals. The moment you put those cold incense on the coals, so you're right, you're extinguishing. But also, let me explain to you what happens right after that. And that is, obviously, the heat of the coals are going to overpower the incense, and it's going to burn the incense. That's called Havara. That's lighting a fire. You're lighting the incense on fire. So you're right, but you're not covering all the malachas, meaning there is a malach of kibui being accomplished or violated, And there's also malacha of mavir as well. So why didn't you mention that? So his answer, the way Rashi understands it, is, yeah, I'm right and you're right. Meaning I'm just going over the first malacha that's being violated. Right, the moment that that cold incense makes contact with the hot coals, the coals are going to be diminished in their intensity. That's kibui. I'm just describing what happens first. You're right that eventually what's going to happen, the incense is going to burn, and that's being mavir.
Both makabe and mavir, neither makabe no
I see what you're saying. I see what you're doing. The Gemara's assumption is that I'm not even sure if I'm right, but it's not happening at the same time. That's the Gemara's assumption. And since it's happening, not happening at the same time, so it counts as both malachas. I'm curious. In other words, if you're right that if it's happening simultaneously, would the Gemara just negate the two? In other words, is it offsetting penalties? I know I'm speaking football now, but you understand. So I don't know. So Amar Rav Yehuda Agabik Hachelas Aser. So Rav Yehuda says that. To put it on top of coals, it's going to be aser. However, agabe cheres mutter. But if I put it on cheres, that means to say as follows: let's say I heat up not metal, but I heat up earthenware, and now I got really hot earthenware, and now I put the incense on the earthenware. So according to Rav Yehuda, that would be fine. Okay, now why is that fine? So happens to be so funny. It's a really long discussion in terms of why it's fine. And I'm only going to be covering Rashi, but Tosos has a really interesting position over here, and I'm not going to cover it just simply as a function of time. But anyway, Rashi says that let's say you heat up earthenware and you put the incense now on the earthenware in order to burn the incense, so you're fine on both counts, both on kivui and on havara. Rashi says kivui, so there is no kivui, there's no extinguishing because. Reducing the temperature of the earthenware is not an act of kivui. Now, Rashi says it. The kivui laka. Now, why not? I guess kivui is something that is a good conductor of heat. This is my guess. I'm not 100% sure I'm correct about this. I'm really unsure, but that's my guess. My guess is that when we're talking about coals, so coals obviously are an intense source of heat. And once you diminish them, that's kivui. And even metal. So metal also is a great conductor of heat. And if I'm reducing the temperature, that's kivui. But earthenware, I guess because it's not such a great conductor of heat, so therefore if I minimize its intensity, that's not kivui. That's what I think Rashi means by that. Again, Rashi says very little, but that's what I think Rashi means. Rashi also says, but the incense obviously is going to get burnt. Meaning it's really hot earthenware, and the incense now, aside from diminishing the intensity of heat, eventually the incense is going to burn. So isn't that a havara? So Rashi says, that's not a havara. Now, why not? So here Rashi says a little bit more. Rashi says, havara nami ayide shinuihi kalachayad v'leki yisur daraisa. It's really unusual. Meaning this is not the normal way you burn incense. You burn incense by putting it on coals. You burn incense by putting it on hot metal. But typically you don't burn incense by putting it on earthenware. And so therefore Rashi describes it's kala achayat. It's so unusual. Okay, the explanation of Rashi still is a little bit lacking, meaning, okay, it's kala achayat, it's unusual. Generally speaking, we say that when you do something in kala achayat, it's still usher. It's not a malacha daraisa, it's an issur derabanan. It's still usher. Okay, so even with Rashi, I need more to, it needs more explanation. Anyway, Tosos over here, I know I mentioned this already. Tosos gives an entirely different shot in the Gemara over here, but right now we'll just stay with Rashi. Rabba Amar al Gabe Cheres Nami Asa Mishum Dekam Oli Recha. Now, Rabba's of the position that if I take incense and I burn it on the Cheres, so it's still going to be prohibited. Why? Because again, what are we talking about over here? You're infusing an aroma into the fruit. So that now, what Rabba describes is a prohibition on Yontiv. It's called Molid Reach. Here's an idea that we're going to encounter a number of times throughout the Masechta, and that is when I'm introducing something new. Now, it happens to be, this is not, pun intended right now, this is not a new idea. Meaning, go back to the very beginning of the Masechta. So an egg laid on Yontif. So what is that? Nolad. Okay, in other words, something new is being introduced on Yontif, and it's going to be Asar. Now, that's an oversimplification. Go over the first two, three blot of the Masechta. So why is the egg aser? Okay, various explanations that are given. But I'm just talking about, conceptually speaking, when a new item, when a new entity forms, so on Yontif, it's going to be prohibited. Rabbinically, but still going to be prohibited. So over here, if I'm introducing a new aroma into the fruit, so the Gemara describes it as molid reyach. You're introducing something new, and that's going to be prohibited. I'll give you another example, which we're going to encounter here in our Masechta, and that is that although Havara is mutar on Yontif, in other words, you're allowed to transfer fire, but what you can't do is you can't make a fire from scratch. In other words, to rub two sticks together, or in more contemporary terms, to strike a match, you can't do that on Yontif. Why not? In other words, you're allowed to transfer fire. You can move a fire from, you know, from inside the house to right. If you have, let's say, you have a coal grill on Yontif, you can light it on Yontif from an existing fire, but you can't create fire anew. Why? Molid eish. Okay, because again, the rabbis prohibited introducing something new on Yontif. It's a rabbinic prohibition, but nevertheless, it's asur midrabbanan. So over here, what Rav is saying now is that let's leave the world of havara and kivui and just leave that, and just the idea that you're introducing a new aroma into a food that's molid recha. Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvayu Sechufe Kasa Ashirai Biyomatava Asar Maitami Mishum Deka Molid Recha. And he says, I'll give you another application of this idea of Molid Recha, and that is to take silk and wrap it around Sechufe Kasa. I'm not 100% sure. Rashi describes it as a fragrant cup. I'm trying to describe, I'm not even sure. The point is as follows. Is that by taking the silk and wrapping it around this cup, this infused cup, so what's going to happen now is that you're transferring the aroma onto the silk, and again now it's an introduction of a new fragrance onto an item, and that's molad recha, and that's going to be prohibited. Now, umayshnami mola lo meriachba v'kotmo meriachba. So the Gemara says, now we're going to learn later in the Masechta the following. Here's what you're allowed to do on Yontif. Let's say you have hadasim. Now, probably a poor example, because the hadasim on Yontif are huksa lemitzvah, so it's probably not my best example. But right, some twig, some branch that you already clipped before Yontif, and it smells really good. So what you're allowed to do on Yontif is you can rub it in order to get more smell to come out of it, or you can clip it. In other words, it's already clipped from the ground. You can clip it in order to get more smell to come out of it. So you're allowed to do that on Yontif. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Having you just introduced me to the idea that molid reach is going to be prohibited, and what's going on right now? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's going on. So umayshnami molo mirechba v'kotmo mirechba so hasam recha mia isa v'usufa dekamosif recha hacha olud dekamolid recha. So the Gemara says there's a difference between just enhancing an aroma that's already there versus introducing aroma anew. If there's already an aroma there, meaning those twigs, so they already have a smell, but if I rub it, it's going to smell more. So that's just to be mosif. Hosaf is fine. But to take an aroma, infuse it into something like clothing, like fruit, where it wasn't there previously, and now I'm introducing something anew, that's molid, and that's aser. Okay, so where are we right now on the front of being ma'ashen? Are you allowed to infuse an aroma into fruit? So Amoraim are conflicted on this very issue. Some say yes, some say no. Even for those who say no, what exactly is the issue? Some say it's kivui, some say it's havara. Even if what I'm doing is burning on earthenware, some say that even on earthenware it's going to be also because of molid reach. Okay, so the Gemara is really torn on this particular issue. So Rava Amar agabe gachelas nami mutar. Now Rav is going to take an extraordinarily lenient position on this matter, and that is even to burn it on gachelas. So that is going to be mutar. So first of all, so you understand now, he is combating a lot of positions that we've gone over, and we'll tackle them one by one. So but first, let me finish reading agabe gachelas nami mutar mi didavi abisra gumre. It's no different than when you roast meat on coals. Okay, so first of all, here's point number one that he's combating. Okay, it's kivui. So Rava says it's not kivui. Meaning, yes, it is, but no, it's not. No, it's not. Meaning, when you're grilling on Yontif. Okay, now mind you, by the way, just grilling on Yantav is mutter, right? You're allowed to cook on Yantav, you're allowed to grill on Yantav. Just, I'm making just a practical point over here that's not related to the Gemara. If you're doing it on a gas grill, so when you're finished grilling, you can't turn off the, you can't turn off the gas. That's kivui, and not for the purposes of cooking, and that becomes problematic. Okay, anyway, but not for here, not for now. Anyway, but the, but when you're grilling on Yantav, I'm talking from the Gemara standpoint, in other words, on coals. So what you can do, what you are totally allowed to do on Yantav is grill on Yantav, and you can actually grill directly on the coals. Now, by the way, people do this. I know most of us have grates, and you put the meat on the grates, and who wants the meat to go directly on coals? Anyway, it's done, right? So people do it, and they did in the time of the Gemara. So if I take a cold piece of meat and put it directly on the coals, so aren't I extinguishing? The answer is yes. But it's fine because of ochel nefesh. Rav is arguing over here, same thing over here. When you take incense and you put it on the coals, so yeah, you're extinguishing the coals, but it's ochel nefesh and it's fine. Okay. Now, what about the fact that we were arguing already numerous times, it's not shav l'chol nefesh. So Rashi over here explains that according to Rava, it is shav l'chol nefesh. But in other words, if you did a poll, if you did a survey of Jewish houses, right, back in the day, you're going to find that most people don't do it. That's simply because they can't afford it. But not affording it does not mean it's not shav l'chol nefesh. Not affording it just simply means not everybody can afford it. But if you were to give everybody the opportunity to do so, would you like your house to be aromatic? Everybody would say yes. It's just a question of not everybody can afford it. Rashi says, you know what it's like? It's like shechting deer on Yantav. Okay? How many people are having deer on Yantav? Who's having venison on Yantav? The answer is very few people. It's right. It's not cost efficient. Right? Chicken is much more cost efficient. Right? But meanwhile, do you want to say it's not it's not something which is shavu chol nefesh? It is shavu chol nefesh. It just happens to be that not everybody can afford it. So Rashi says that's the thought process. That's the mentality of Rava. So according to Rava, so you are allowed to be me'ashin. You can burn the incense on coals and fuse it into the fruit. Now, what about molid reicha? That part I don't know. Meaning, obviously he's fine with it. But we're not given a clear explanation in the Gemara in terms of why he dismisses that as being an issue. Okay. Darish Rav, Gevia mi beik sil apischa de beresh kalusa ketorah shari. So a psak was issued in front of the house of the Resh Kalusa, and that is that you're allowed to do ketorah. Okay. Now, for all the poskim out there, we're not listening to this year, but for all the poskim out there, so when you give a psak, so you got to be clear. In other words, you're, and not only that, by the way, but he's being makel, but wasn't clear what he was talking about. In other words, and if you look carefully at what he said, kitara shari. Okay, so what exactly did he mean? Something's mutter, but what exactly is mutter? So amalei amemar my kitara e kitara bd or biri, whichever is the correct girsa. And that basically is making pleats into clothing. Okay, so in other words, our local tailor or dry cleaner. So what they would do is that when they would press the clothing, they would put pleats into the clothing. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to do that on Yantav? Of course you're not allowed to do that on Yantav. Maisa umanhu. That's something that's done by a professional. V'ila shein asodaka mechabe. And if we're talking about mikater from the word kitur, meaning burning, didn't we say that it's already aser? So amalei Rav Ashi, lo olam la'ashein. So Rav Ashi says, no, we're talking about infusing, burning incense on coals, infusing the aroma into fruit, and we happen to be of the opinion that it's mutter. Midahave abisra gumre. And like Rava said, it's no different than taking meat and putting it on coals. You're extinguishing, but that's fine because it's ochel nefesh. So here too also, it's a form of ochel nefesh. It's mitoch. Okay. Now we're going to do the same thing again over here, just a slightly different version, but it's going to be basically the same point. Amalei amemar, my ketori, ketor biri, my se'umanahu yi la'ashen, asu dekamoli recha. So if it's la'ashen, it's a problem because you are infusing a fragrance into the fruit. So amravashi, ana amrisa ni'alei, mishmei degavarab, amrisa ni'alei la'olam la'ashen, umidahavi abisa gumrei. In the second version, it comes out to be the same point, which is that we're talking about burning incense on the coals in order to infuse it into the fruit. And it's not a problem of kibui because it's ochel nefesh. And over here, it's not ochel nefesh eating-wise, but it's ochel nefesh in terms of there is a clear benefit that everybody can gain in terms of doing so. Okay. Osin gedim kulas. Three heterim that Rabbi Gamliel allowed himself to. And again, we spoke mostly about being megamer, mugmar, about burning incense in the house. But the third thing that he would do is that he would roast a kid, right, baby goat. He would roast a kid on Pesach, post Chorban Beis HaMikdash, to remind everybody what it was like when, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So Tanya Rabbi Yossi Amar Tudus Yishromi Hineges B'nei Romi Lechol Gedim Mekulas B'leile Pesachim. So we saw this back in Pesachim. Hopefully you remember. It's good review. So what Tudus did is that he would roast a kid. He would roast a goat on Pesach to remind everybody the Jews in Rome, who unfortunately now were exiled to Rome after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, to remind them of what it was like. So they would have roasted goat on Pesach. So Shacholei Amalei Tudus Ata Gazon Alach Nidui. And so the following letter was sent to Tudus. You know, had it not been for the fact that you're Tudus, we would have put you in Cherem. But you're Tudus, so we're not going to put you in Cherem. Now, why not? So either because he's, right, we saw these pshatim back in Pesachim, either because he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, or because he was politically powerful. Whichever pshat, in other words, they want to put him in Cherem, but they can't put him in Cherem. So, because what he's doing is that he's feeding kachem to the Jewish people outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, kachem b'chutz, saka dadcha, so alayim akein kachem. Now, he wasn't maktishit, it wasn't the Karban Pesach, but it had the appearance of such. Meaning that, okay, when you're roasting a goat outside the Beis HaMikdash, certainly it looks like you're roasting a Karban Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and the appearances were not good. Okay. So, they reprimanded him for doing so without technically putting him in Cherem. Okay. Shlosha Dvarim, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Matir v'Chacham Emosrim. Okay, so the theme clearly has been these last Mishnayos. Three things. Three things that Rabbi Gamliel held like Beit Shammai. Three things Rabbi Gamliel thought that were mutter, but the Chachamim did not agree. So, okay, so on this theme of three things, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allowed himself three heterim, and the Chachamim said, no. We don't allow such a heter. So number one, Parosi Yotze Berut Suah Shebein Karneha. So the cow of Rav Elazar ben Azariah went out with some sort of red ribbon attached to its horns. And the Chachamim said, no. We know that your animals have to rest on Shabbos. Your animals cannot carry on Shabbos. Anything that's not serving the animal cannot be put on the animal during Shabbos, before Shabbos, during Shabbos. That would be the animal not resting on Shabbos. So over here, this red ribbon is not servicing the animal. And meanwhile, the cow of Rav Elazar ben Azariah went out with that red ribbon. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to talk more about it a little bit later on. So the Mikardin Esabehema B'Yontov. And he would comb the animals on Yontov. We'll talk more about that in the Gemara. And finally, V'shochin Esapipolim B'Rechaim Shalahem. And you can grind peppers in a pepper mill. And now, V'chachamim, I'm sorry. And the Chachamim on all three of these points said no, no, and no. Now, as far as grinding peppers in the pepper mill, didn't we say earlier in the Masech that you're allowed to do that? Right? We had a debate whether it requires a shinui, whether it doesn't require a shinui. Shitas Beisila is that it does not require a shinui. So why over here is the Gemara saying this is controversial? It should not be controversial. Beisila says it's fine. So so what we'll have to say over here is that I'll tell you what's fine and I'll tell you what's controversial. What's fine is to grind it in a standard mortar and pestle. So that's fine. That's what we were describing earlier, right? You could use a stone mortar and a stone pestle in order to grind it. But over here, to use a conventional pepper mill, so that's what Rashi describes over here as uvda dechol. It's too much of a weekday activity. So that was a point of controversy. Okay. Rav Yehuda Omer Ein Mekardin Sbehema B'Yontov B'nei She'oseh Chabura Aval Mekartzefin V'Chachamim Omer Ein Mekardin Af lo mekartzefin. Now, as far as combing the animal, so here you have a debate amongst the Tanaim what you could use. So according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, he allowed for the combing of the animal. So along came Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, to use a fine-toothed comb, you can't do that. Because you're gonna make a bruise in the animal. To use a comb with really thick teeth, wooden teeth, that's fine. Because it's not gonna make any kind of bruising of the animal. And according to the Chachamim, you cannot use any comb whatsoever to comb an animal on Yontif. Okay. Gemara is going to discuss all this in more detail. Le Meimra. As we now start with the Gemara. On Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. So first of all, the Gemara says, here's what I'm dumbfounded by. You're telling me that Rav Elazar ben Azariah had one cow. What are you talking about? So Vahamarav, Amrila, Amarav, Yehuda, Amarav, Talesar, Alpe, Agli, Have a Miser, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, May Edre, Kolshas Vashasa. So we're just talking about the amount of taxes that he took off. 13,000 cows that he took off for taxes. Now I say taxes, the Gemara uses the words Miser. So Miser over here probably means Miser Behema, but every time the Gemara comes up a number of places throughout Shas. So Tosus raises the following difficulty, which is, Meiser Behema, you know when Rav Elazar ben Azariah lived? He lived after Churban Beis HaMikdash. They were taking off Meiser Behema after Churban Beis HaMikdash, so Tosus really struggles, and Tosus offers a number of pshatim of what the Gemara means. I'm not going to go through the various answers of Tosus right now, but for our purposes right now, suffice to say, let's just stay on task over here by commenting that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was a really wealthy man, and 10%, his annual 10%, let's just call it taxes right now. His annual 10% of taxes represented 13,000 cows, which means that he had 130,000 cows born to him annually. All this means that, what does that mean? He had one cow. He had a lot more than one cow. So the Gemara says, Tana lo shalo haisa, ela al shchinaso haisa mitok shalo michabo nikras hashma. So the Gemara says, and we've heard this before. We saw this in the Gemara in Shabbos and Daphne and Dalid, and now we're getting to hear it again here in Beitzan Chav Gimel, and that is, we're not describing his cow. It was his neighbor's cow. He had a lot of cows, and on top of that, he was made sure that his cows were resting on Shabbos. What happened was that his neighbor had a cow. In fact, only had one cow, and for whatever reason, the neighbor went ahead and tied this ribbon on the horns of the cow on Shabbos. And the Mishnah over here says it was Paraso Rav Elazar ben Azariah because it's a point of Musar. And that is, meaning, and the Musar is that Rav Elazar ben Azariah didn't give Musar. Meaning what he should have told his neighbor is that you're not allowed to do that. It's Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. And, right, and we'll also add all the Gemaras and Erechin that we're talking about a case where, Rav Elazar ben Azariah was in a position to give Tochacha and his neighbor was ready to receive it and yet he didn't do so. And the Gemara over here is chastising Rav Elazar ben Azariah in that if you have an opportunity to give Musar and you don't do so, so then it's on you. Meaning, Kol Yisrael Raven Zebazeb, we're all guarantors for one another, and you're in a position where you could give Musar and Tochacha, and you don't do so. So the Gemara says, so now it's no longer his cow. We're not talking about actual ownership. We're talking about the liability and the responsibility and the assumption of we're all in this together. So now it's no longer his cow, it's now your cow. Okay, so it's good muster. It's good tochacha. Umekardin esabeim beyantav. Okay, halacha is that, us urbanites are just simply not sensitive to, and that is combing your animals on yantav. Okay, so we saw in the Mishnah three opinions on combing animals on yantav. Tan rabbanan ezu karud vezu kartsuf karud ketanim vosech chabura kartsuf gedol meinosim chabura. So first the Gemara quotes a braisa. So the karud is a fine-tooth comb, where when you comb the animal, so it's gonna detangle, but it's also gonna make some sort of wound within the animal. And the kartsuf, that's a very thick-toothed comb, where it's gonna be really gentle on the animal. V'gimma machlokas bedavar, and there are three opinions, and the Gemara goes through all three opinions over there. Rabbi Yehuda sever davar shein miskaven al sir. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a davar shein miskaven. And Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas is of the position that a davar shein miskaven is asur. So here as well. Miu karud ketanim ve'osim chabura. Kartsuf gedol ve'enosim chabura. V'lo gazrin a kartsuf ata karud. It just happens to be that practically speaking, the kartsuf is not going to make a chabura. So even though Rabbi Yehuda is machmir by a davar shein miskaven, but over here it doesn't create any chabura whatsoever. V'rabban and savrin, according to the shita of the chachamim, so nami ka Rabbi Yehuda, davar shein miskaven asur. V'gazrin a kartsuf atu karud. And it's just a question of the Chachamim agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda that you can't use a fine-tooth comb, but they feel that, look, you can't use any comb because one to the other. And finally, Rav Elazar ben Azariah suffered like Rabbi Shimon, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah is of the position of Rabbi Shimon, Damar Davar Shein Miskaven Mutar, Bein Karud, Bein Kartsuf Sharei. And look, if I make a wound in the animal, it was not my intention, and it doesn't happen all the time. So, and Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that a davar shein miskaven is in fact mutter, and so therefore, it comes out that it would be fine. It would be perfectly acceptable even to use a fine tooth comb. So the Gemara says Allah in fact follows like Rabbi Shimon. Because Rav Elazar ben Azariah agrees with them. So Amalei Rav la Rav Nachman v'leim Amar Allah Rav Yehuda Sharei Chacham Emodim Lo. Really, that's your proof. Meaning, can I reintroduce you back to the Mishnah? In the Mishnah, remember the Chachamim argued with Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So how can you tell me, oh, the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon because Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds like him? Okay, I'm going to show you the same Mishnah and the Chachamim argue. Amalei Anak Rabbi Shimon Sfira Leva Ocharei Rav Elazar ben Azariah Modala. So he says, okay, let me restate my case. My case is number one, I follow like Rabbi Shimon, meaning leave Rav Elazar ben Azariah out of it. Meaning machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, I follow like Rabbi Shimon. And then on top of that, just as a bonus, it also happens to be Rav Elazar ben Azariah agrees with him as well. But my argument is not predicated on the fact that, oh, we see Rav Elazar ben Azariah falls like Rabbi Shimon, therefore the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Tosus over here writes at the end of the Samud that the halacha in fact falls like Rabbi Shimon. A davar she'ena miskaven is in fact mutter. Again, assuming that's not psik reisha, that it doesn't happen every single time, but if it's something which is unintentional and the result does not yield every single time, so it's machlok is Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara concludes and Tosus concludes that the halacha in fact follows like Rabbi Shimon. Amud Beis. Okay, we are on the Mishnah on Chav Gim Amud Beis and a couple of Mishnayos and an opportunity to finish the Perek. And let's do both. Harichaim Shal Pilpulin. So we talked about the pepper mill briefly on the Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah over here is going to go off on a tangent. And the Mishnah over here says, oh, by the way, can we talk about pepper mills and Tumat Tahara? Okay. Obviously not a Yantav related issue, but okay, we're on the topic of pepper mills. Okay, quick conversation about pepper mills. Okay, more information than you bargained for in today's daf. What is the construction of a pepper mill? So it's made up of three parts. It happens to be, I have a picture over here. Okay, so if you have a picture? Okay, your picture probably is nicer than my picture, but okay, either way. So the pepper mill is constructed of three parts, right? The top, the middle, and the bottom. The bottom is made up of wood, the top is made up of metal, and the middle part is some sort of sieve or sift. Okay, and what the Mishnah is about to explain to us is that they're all detachable one from the other, and they're all going to be makabel tumah. They're all going to have the status of a clean be makabel tumah. Okay, and with that stated, so we just have a little bit of explaining to do, and that is why is each one of these parts going to be subject to tumah. Harichaim shel pilpulim tameah mishum shlosha kelim mishum kli kibal mishum kli matechas mishum kli kavra. So the Mishnah over here really succinctly goes on to explain that each one of these three parts is going to be mekabel tumah. Okay, so I'll just quickly run through the Gemara, and then I'll just explain each part. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Tachtana Mishim Kli Kibol, Emsais Mishim Kli Kavra, Elyona Mishim Kli Mateches. So what the Braisa does for us is it really helps us straighten everything out in terms of which part are we describing. In fact, if you look back at the Mishnah, I'm not going to do this right now, but if you look back at the Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't give it to us in the proper order as it's constructed. Okay, but with the Braisa now, everything is aligned in terms of what part we were describing. Okay, so let's go from the bottom to the top. Okay, so the bottom is wood. Okay, now wood, what do we know when it comes to wood and Kabbalah's Tuma? It has to have it's a kli with a toch. It has to have an inside to it. In other words, it has to be a receptacle. Can't be flatware. It's got to be some sort of receptacle. Okay, so the bottom is perfect. The bottom is just that, meaning it's a wooden receptacle that collects the pepper as it's being ground, and so it's wood, but it has a toch, therefore it's mekabel tumah. That's the bottom. Okay, I'm going to skip the middle for just a moment because that's the hardest one. Let's go to the top. Now, the top is the actual grinding apparatus. We're assuming right now it doesn't have a toch, but so what? In other words, it is a metal kli. Now, metal kli is going to be metame. It's going to be mekabel tumah. Even though it doesn't have a toch. Why? Because that's a halacha. The halacha is that kli matchos, as long as it has a functional purpose to it. So over here it's grinding, so therefore it's going to be mekabel tumah. Flatware, metal flatware is mekabel tumah. Good. So that's the top. Now we get to the middle, and the middle is the hardest to explain. Now, the Braisa said it in just all of two words. So the middle, emsais mishum kli kavra, because it's a sieve. Okay. That's difficult. And so what? And so Rashi says over here, Well, I know it's not metal, and it doesn't have a toch, but it does collect, and it looks like a woven item. It looks like a woven fabric because, again, it's a mesh that separates the smaller bits from the larger bits of pepper that's being milled. And so, but because it looks like a mesh, it looks like a weave. So therefore, the Chachamim issued a Tumah Derabanan on it because it looks like a weave. And one could confuse it with, like, let's say, an article of clothing. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos is not happy with Rashi's explanation. For our purposes right now, I'll stay with that explanation. Okay, so all three parts of it are, in fact, going to be Mekabel Tumah. Last Mishnah. Agala shel katan tamei medras, v'nitalas b'shabbos. Okay. So the previous mishnah was a little bit of a tangent. This mishnah too is going to be a slight tangent. Okay. I say the red wagon that you know, that we had in our childhood. Everybody, right? This is universal. Okay. I don't know why it's such a it's so ubiquitous, but it is. Okay. So basically, what we're describing over here is the red wagon. Okay. Now, obviously, it's a little bit anachronistic, but. But it's basically what the Mishnah is describing over here. So agalo shel katan. So tamei medras. So it is a kli, and not only is it a kli, but tamei medras. Now we know that when something is designed for sitting on or lying down on, so it's mekabel tamei medras. If a zav or a zava were to sit or lie down on it, so that item now is in fact going to be mekabel tamei to the same degree as the person's avatuma. So the wagon, if a zava or a zava were sitting on the wagon, it's now going to be Tamei Tumas Medras. Also, Nitalas B'Shabbos. You can move it on Shabbos, meaning it's a kli. Ve'en Negres Al Gabi Kelim. Now, what you can't do is that you cannot, go over a floor with it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol HaKelim Ein Negran Chutz Min HaGala Memneshi Koveshes. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that you can't drag over a floor. However, the Agala, you can, because you're not dragging the Agala over the floor. You know what you're doing? In other words, you're rolling it, right? And just imagine the wagon being rolled over the floor. So the wheels are turning as it's going over the ground. And what's happening over here is that it's not moving the earth. It's just simply depressing the earth into the ground. So Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah says that's fine. That's not choresh. Choresh is when you take something and you're actually dragging it through the earth and you're moving the earth, right? You're tilling the soil. Over here, that's not what you're doing. You're just simply pushing it into the ground as the wheel is turning. Okay, so the Gemara over here, quick discussions in the Gemara. Agal shel katan tamei medras daha samich lave. So the Gemara gives a really succinct explanation of the Mishnah. I kind of said it already. And that is that since the wagon is designed for sitting, therefore it's subject to tamei medras. Number two, v'nitalas b'shabbos mishum dikas Torah kli alaha. You can move it on Shabbos because it's a kli. And then, v'eino negras ela al gabi kelim. It can only be dragged on kelim. So meaning, it can be dragged on the floor, but only on actual flooring. So agabe kelin in agabe karkalo maitama deka avid chritz. So because what you're doing is you're making a groove in the ground, and that's choresh. Now mani Rav Yehudi damar davishenem miskaven aser. Now that's not your intention. Your intention is just simply to push it along the ground. You're not interested in making charisha over here. Isn't it a davishenem miskaven? So the Gemara says yeah, but Rav Yehudi damar davishenem miskaven aser. So it must subscribe to the Shita Rav Yehuda, which is a Davashenim Miskavenes Aser. So the Gemara says, whoa, you need to slow down. De'i Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, before we get to that point. De'i Rabbi Shimon Amar Davashenim Miskavenes Mutter. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, we know that if something is unintentional, it would be Mutter. Did not, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. We see this Mishnah all the time when we talk about Davashenim Miskaven. Rabbi Shimon Amar Gora Adamita Kisev Estav Salvavash Shalis Kavim Lassos Kritz. So you could drag a bench on the ground on Shabbos. Provided that you don't intend on making a groove in the ground, that's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Where meanwhile Rabbi Yehuda disagrees because he holds the Davashen Miskaven is Aser. So the Gemara says Ema Seifa. Okay, now I can say it. Now let's slow down. Meaning in our Mishnah, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda does not allow you to drag the wagon on the ground on actual earth because you unintentionally may make a groove in the ground, but he holds the Davashen Miskaven is Aser. Now the Gemara says, but wait one second. Reminder to everybody: look back at our Mishnah. It's Rav Yehuda's allowing you to drag it on the ground. To roll it on the ground. So Ema Sefer, Rav Yehuda Amar Eina Kol Negaran B'Shabbos Chutz Min Hagala Mimeshi Koveshes. Mimeshi Koveshes Dinavach Chritz Lo. Chritz Lo Avdei. So in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says that to take the wagon and to roll it on the ground would be fine because you're not moving the earth, you're just pushing it down. Gemara says, Trey Tanai Valibat Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, admittedly, not an exciting answer, but the Gemara, this happens in the Gemara, and that is that we have different reports of what Rav Yehuda said. Meaning, some are of the opinion that Rav Yehuda does not allow you to move the wagon across the ground because who's ever reporting that version of Rav Yehuda, so that version of Rav Yehuda is assuming that sometimes what happens is that the wheels get locked. And so what happens now is that you're pulling the wagon on the ground and the wheels get locked. Oh, so that's Charisha. In other words, that's tilling the ground. And Rav Yehuda Lishita, so Rav Yehuda also holds that a Davar Shenei Miskaven is Aser. Now, the report of our Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda, where it's fine, so our Mishnah is of the opinion that wheels never get locked. And what happens now is that the wheels are always in motion, and so therefore you're never really tilling the ground. What you're doing is you're just simply pushing the earth down, and that's fine. There's no problem with that whatsoever. That's Kovesh, that's not Choresh, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine. And that's our version of Rav Yehuda. So, Trey Tanai, Aliba de Rav Yehuda. Hajjan Alech Yom Tov, that's the end of the second paragraph of the Masechta. And let us do a really quick recap of today's daf. We started with the Mishnah all the way back on Chav Beis Amud Beis. We covered a lot today. Baruch Hashem. The Mishnah all the way back on Chav Beis Amud Beis talked about three practices of Rabbi Gamliel, and he's Mekel, and the Chachamim say no. Sweeping the dining room on Yontif and Shabbos, burning incense on Yontif, and roasting a goat on Pesach after Chorban Beis Hamikdash, Zecher LeMikdash. So those three actions, and the Gemara says those are all highly contestable and debatable. And in fact, the Chachamim do not allow for any of those heterim. Most of the Gemara's attention was spent on number two and on burning incense. And the burning of the incense, is it a davar? It's yontif, and you're allowed to burn for ochel nefesh. But this is not ochel nefesh. This is a mitoch issue. And so, is this going to be okay? And where the Gemara landed on this issue, interestingly enough, is that Rava said, a lot of opinions on this matter, back and forth, Rava was of the position that you're allowed to do this on Yontif. Although, to be fair, Rava was talking about not making aromatic for the house, Rava was talking about and burning the incense in order to infuse it into the fruit, but Rava says it's fine. What about the issue of Shavel Chol Nefesh? So the way Rashi explained it is Shavel Chol Nefesh, it just happens to be not available to everybody, but everybody certainly would be able to benefit from it. Good. And the Gemara briefly talked about the practice of Rabbi Gamliel roasting a goat on Pesach after Chorban Beis Hamikdash, and highly controversial because it looked like you were offering Chorban Pesach outside the Beis Hamikdash. Tudus did the same thing out in Rome, and he got strongly reprimanded for it. Then the next mission that we covered on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Heterim of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. His neighbor's cow went out with carrying a ribbon on Shabbos. The Mishnah calls it his because he didn't give proper tochacha. Using a standard pepper mill in order to grind on Yontif, the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. To use mortar and pestle, that you're allowed to do. But to use a standard pepper mill that you're not allowed to do, it's uvda dechol. And finally, the last heter that he availed himself to is that he would comb the animal on Yontif, using a fine-tooth comb, and the Chachamim were not happy with that one. That one is predicated on the issue of Davar Shenei Miskaven, meaning even though the fine-tooth comb does in fact make a chabur in the animal, but that wasn't your intention, it doesn't happen every single time. And like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, Davar Shenei Miskaven is mutter. And then finally, on the Amud Beis today, so the Mishnah said the end of the second parak of Beitza, so it went off script, meaning not talking about Yontif, it's talking about pepper mills and Tumat Tahara. The first point of the Amud Beis is that all three parts of the pepper mill are Mekabel Tumah. The top and the bottom are easy to explain. The top is a Kli Mateches, and therefore it's Mekabel Tumah. The bottom is Kli Eitz, but with a Toch, and therefore it's Mekabel Tumah. The middle one, that one was a little bit of a struggle. It's basically a sieve made up of wood or some sort of palm bast, but the point is that it's Mekabel Tumah. Rashi says it's a Tumah Derabanan, not a Tumah Daraisa. Okay. And finally, the last issue is the wagon. Okay, so the red wagon that we all know and loved as children. So you can, three points that we made regarding the red wagon. Number one is that it's subject to Tumas Medras because kids sit on it. Number two is that you can move it on Shabbos. And number three, because it's a kli. And number three is that you can roll it on the ground. Although different reports about Rav Yehuda whether that's you can or you cannot. If the wheels are never going to lock and it's going to roll on the ground, so it's fine. All it's going to do is just move the earth down, and that's not choresh. If on the other hand the wheels lock and it's dragging the earth, that's choresh. And then it's the davar shenu miskaven, and that's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, adkan.